You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm John C. Scott, and over many years of broadcasting in Tucson, I have seldom recommended without any reservations an auto repair shop to keep my car running. I know nothing about car repair. If the car runs and it stops, it's good enough for me. I can tell you I've been ripped off so many times I can't count them. Finally, that's changed. Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works has advertised on the station for years. I paid no attention until the timing belt went out on my car, the engine was destroyed. I talked to Mike, he told me what I needed to do and what I needed not to do. I trust him. I'm glad I did. It saved me over $1,000. Mike and I aren't on the same political team, but we're friends, and I don't have to worry about my car ever again. Mike Emery's Perfection Auto Works hires only ASE certified technicians. They're the best. If you want peace of mind when it comes to repairing your car, talk to Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly, or call him at 323-8650. Or you can find him online at perfectionautoworks.com. That's it. I trust Mike Emery. You can too.
If you looked at an organization and found that morale was at an all-time low, staff was quitting in record numbers, and recruitment was bottoming out, wouldn't you look for problems at the top? That's why so many of Pima County's deputies, corrections officers, and commanders say the top problem in the sheriff's department is the man at the top, the sheriff himself. And they say the solution to that problem is Chris Nanos.
We need Nanos for sheriff.
Paid for by Nanos for Sheriff, authorized by Chris Nanos.
Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat at the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in Arizona. Thanks for making that possible. Great lineup of guests today. We'll talk with Ethan Orr, former legislator, now a candidate for the Pima Community College Board. We'll talk with Rex Scott. He's running for the Pima Board of Supervisors in District 1. Then Steve Diamond, he's a candidate for the Pima Supervisors in District 4. And then Beth Ford's the Pima County Treasurer, Republican. Jim Hanley has our financial report. It's a busy day. A lot of information. I'm glad you decided to join us. Here's Ethan Orr. Ethan, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could be with us. Thank you so much.
John, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Terrible news across this great country of ours. 83,000 more cases of coronavirus here in the state of Arizona. We have problems as well. In fact, in Pima County, 1,000 new cases statewide. And in Pima County alone, we've had over 6,000 deaths statewide. And in Pima County, we had 6 deaths last night. What's your plan to make Pima Community College students safe, protected, as well as educated?
Well, John, I'll tell you, the most important thing is to follow the science. I've been doing this with the University of Arizona. I'm one of their committees for the cooperative extension, and every week we look at the county-by-county data, and I can tell you what the science is showing us is a mask is 70% effective. So that's one thing that we need to require. The other thing we need to do is do more outside and have appropriate social distancing, hope for the vaccine, but what we're seeing is it's possible the mask will actually be more successful in preventing the spread than even the vaccine when it comes along. And then the other thing I think we need to be looking at is what is the cost on the other side? We need to get kids back in school. We need to get kids doing some socialization because we're starting to see food insecurity. We're starting to see students not doing as well. We're seeing depression and suicide. And so we need to open up safely and scientifically.
By the way, this isn't going to end tomorrow or next week or next month. It's probably not going to end next year. We're going to live with this terrible virus, this pandemic, for years to come, and the economic fallout from it will be with us for decades. We have a long way to go here to deal with this terrible tragedy that we all face, don't we?
John, I absolutely agree. We have lost a third of our GDP if you look at the economy. Arizona has been a little bit more insulated than the others, thank God. I just talked to my cousin who's in New York City, and they've been hit with the double whammy of a collapsed economy and the COVID and these multiple deaths. But I think you're absolutely right, and it positions Pima and other schools, particularly those that are doing the career and technical arts, in a position to help our economy retool. 40% of the jobs that will exist in the next 10 to 20 years have not been invented yet. They will be invented by creative minds in the machine skills and the computer skills. And so this is the time to step back and look and say, how do we retool our economy? How do we retool our personal set? And how do we make the best of this horrible, horrible situation?
Talking with Ethan Orr, former legislator, candidate for the Pima Community College Board. Let me step aside and give you 5 minutes of uninterrupted time to ask people to vote for you and explain why they should do that, Ethan.
John, I really appreciate that. And the one thing I have to say, and I've seen this in every neighborhood and every house that we've been at, this race is about the students and it's about the community. It's about our economy and it's about Pima College continuing to be an integral part of growing the economy, helping. We have a small business center, helping our local businesses grow and survive, grow and expand, helping build our workforce so that we can recruit new businesses. But you know what, John? Most importantly, it's about the students. When I was a student growing up here, Pima College, and it's not just a cliche because it opened up really the gateway of opportunity in my life. I remember going in those classes, learning new skills, but then also having my eyes open for all the opportunities that I could do. It opened up a way to go to the university, which opened up a way for me to get a master's. And what I saw in my career, and when I went back and I was a faculty member at Pima College, I saw it in the careers of many others. You get a good job, and then you get an education to upgrade your skills, and you get a better job, and then you get more education to upgrade your skills, and so on and so forth. And that has been my career trajectory, and that is the career trajectory that I want to create and accentuate for people at Pima Community College. I've been thinking a lot about we have world-class faculty, and we have amazing students with a well-articulated vision of who they want to be, many of them, but we need to strengthen our support services. We have an $8 million surplus in this year's budget, which is phenomenal given the decrease in student enrollment. We need to be looking at how do we strengthen our financial aid counseling? How do we change up and reduce some of the fees, or at least make those student fees eligible for financial aid to make sure that everyone that is Pell eligible, everyone that is financially aid eligible or scholarship eligible is maximizing those scholarships? And then how do we do appropriate course advising so that students can get in and out with the skills they need? Like I've always talked about, for people that want to go in career education, give you a career, a certificate that is stackable and I can turn into or apply to an associate's or baccalaureate, but also gets me in the workforce as quickly as possible, and then also can get me through a dual enrollment program into the U of A if that's the path I choose. And then the final, and actually in many ways the point of the spear, the most important part, is the career and employment training. When I ran Linkages for 10 and a half years, when I started, 87 people with disability had gotten jobs, and that's an amazing number. By the time I was done, a little over a decade later, we had expanded to the entire state, and we were helping over 1,000, almost 1,100 people every year throughout Arizona, many in southern Arizona, find meaningful employment and gain that perspective on life. And I set up numerous, with Beacon and Mafentera, numerous training programs. And the key to every one of those training programs was the employment at the end. Can I get you a job? Because if I can get you a job, then my credentialing makes sense.
By the way, you have an opponent who's qualified, no question about that. I think a lot of both of you. But what separates you from this opponent of yours, who, and this has been a race that talked about issues, it's been a race of respect, dignity, and I think a class race, to say the least, in the middle of the politics of mud in 2020. So how does you separate yourself from a decent, good, qualified candidate and ask people to vote for you?
Well, John, and I appreciate you saying that first. I think my opponent is decent and good, and I have endeavored in this race to make this a race that our community can be proud of. What I think, there are two things that I think separate us very clearly. One is my community involvement. Not only did I grow up here, but I have been in leadership and economic development, workforce development. I'm currently on the Arts Foundation, the Community Foundation, and I have been an active part of this community for well over two decades. I have worked with every part of this community, R's, D's, I's, every section of the community, so I can bring people together very quickly. In fact, some of our people on workforce development said you are actually the only one that has worked with all of us and can kind of be this catalyst to bring us together under the auspices of Pima Community College. The other thing that I think separates us, which I think is important, are the details. In that I have studied the budget. I've studied the nuance. I was in the legislature. I got Pima College protected and got them the $25 million in my 2 years that I was there. And I've already talked to the chair and vice chair of appropriations about how we can do this again. And so I know how the legislation passes. I know how the budget works. I was a student and a faculty member. I've worked with every community college throughout Arizona. So I know the details. And I'll tell you, the details matter because it's beyond the time when people need to settle for platitudes. No more platitudes from politicians. We need people who know and study the details, and then we'll bring people together to actualize and make the plan work.
Ethan Orr, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for running. Good to talk to you again, John. Ethan. Thank you.
Thank you. I always appreciate the chance.
Thank you. Ethan Orr is a candidate for the Pima Community College Board, former legislator. Coming up next, Rex Scott, running for the Pima Board of Supervisors in District 1. He so outclasses his opponent that it's not even funny. And it's not funny if he doesn't win, believe me. Trust me, there is a clear difference between Mr. Spain and Mr. Scott in Pima Supervisor District 1. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Today's weather, sunny and clear with cooler temperatures on the way. Now, back to more music.
This was a great idea, honey, to have the family get together. Haven't seen the grandkids in a long time.
Yes, and wait until the kids see the new pool we had installed. They will love it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Now let's see. New barbecue grill, check. Steaks, check. Cooler full of cold drinks, check. Oh, and perfect weather, check.
Wonderful.
That was close. Get under cover, honey. Get out of here. It's a twister. It's a twister.
Are you sick and tired of being told it's going to be a nice sunny day, but it's everything except that? Same with auto repair. You're told it's the brakes, but it turns out to be the engine. Call Perfection Auto Works today, 323-8650, for accurate reports on your car or truck repairs, brakes, tires, oil changes, complete auto repair, 323-8650, and perfectionautoworks.com.
Since 1996, Sharon Bronson has served the people of Pima County with leadership, honor, and commitment to responsible government. Sharon led the way for the passage of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, which has protected environmentally sensitive lands while assuring new growth pays for itself. Sharon Bronson is a leader, and through these difficult times, we need her leadership more now than ever. Vote for Sharon Bronson for Supervisor in District 3. This message approved and paid for by Bronson for Supervisor.
I'm Steve Diamond, and I'm running to be your new Pima County Supervisor. This district hasn't had a competitive election in 48 years, and I'm running to finally give voters like you a real choice. Our current County Supervisor, Steve Christie, supports the failed policies of Doug Ducey and Donald Trump. Christie voted against protecting public health during this pandemic. Christie, Ducey, and Trump made Arizona one of the worst COVID-19 hotspots in the world. Pima County can't afford more business as usual. In 2020, change is on the ballot. A vote for Steve Diamond is a vote for environmental protection, fair housing regulations, equal rights, justice, and economic development without tax giveaways. Steve Christie works for special interests. I will work for you. I'm Steve Diamond, and I approve this message. Paid for by Steve Diamond for Supervisor.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios in Tucson, Arizona. We talked about two candidates running from the Pima Community College Board, and both very well qualified. I cannot say that there's two qualified people running for the Board of Supervisors in District 1. Rex Scott is a newcomer, Democrat, and an amazing candidate, one of the most qualified to ever run for the Pima Board of Supervisors. His opponent, Steve Spain, is a jerk. And that's all we have to say. Nice to talk with you, Rex, and hope you win. No. Welcome to our show, Rex Scott. How are you?
John, I'm doing well. Thanks for the opportunity to spend some time again with you and your listeners. I always enjoy it.
Give me a five-minute kind of conversation about why you got into this race, what you bring to the table, and why, if you win, we're all so much better off in Pima County.
John, thanks for the question. The main reason that I am running for this office is to continue what has been a lifelong commitment to public service. I first ran for office in my hometown of Athens, Ohio, when I was 20 years old. I ran for our city council seat. I didn't win that race, but in the next 4 years, I served on two city commissions, one of them an appointed commission, the other one an elected commission. And then when I was 24, I was the youngest person and the first Ohio University student elected to Athens City Council. I served two terms before I moved to Pima County in 1991. When I first moved here, I was a teacher in two different middle schools for a total of 8 years. And then I got my master's in educational leadership through the NAU Tucson program and began a 19-year career as an assistant principal or principal in five different middle and high schools. So if you take into account those 4.5 years of involvement in municipal government in my Ohio hometown and the 19 years that I've been an appointed leader in our local schools, that's 23.5 years of public sector leadership experience. I'm also really proud to say that half of my career as a Pima County educator has been spent in schools that serve the students and families in Supervisorial District 1. Started my teaching career at Flowing Wells Junior High School. My third administrative position was as an assistant principal at Ironwood Ridge High School in Oro Valley. And my last administrative position before I retired in 2019 was as the principal at Tortolita Middle School in the Marana District. So the families of District 1, at least the ones that I worked on behalf of at those three schools, know me very well. They know my commitment to public service, and they know that I know them and the needs of our district. Another reason that I'm running is to offer those 23.5 years of public sector leadership experience at a time that there is a tremendous leadership turnover in Pima County government. Regardless of who wins this race, there are going to be at least three new supervisors on the board. There may be even more. There's going to be a new county attorney. There's going to be a new county assessor. There could be a new sheriff. There's going to be a new county recorder. So somebody with my experience with budgeting, with overseeing staffs as they provide services and supports to their constituents is going to help to deal with that leadership void in county government. I'd also point out that, and we've talked about this on your show before, District 1 is the only really purple district amongst the five. There are right around 53,000 Republicans, 50,000 Democrats, and over 40,000 independents. We need somebody who is going to honor all voices and consider all points of view in our very diverse district. I was a Republican for 19 years. I've been a Democrat for 16 years. I was an independent for 4 years. My background as a voter and my experience as a public sector leader have taught me the importance of being that person who can honor all voices and consider all points of view before making a decision. Last thing I'd say is that with everything that we depend on from public education, I think it's important to have the voice of a career educator represented in county government. There hasn't been one as long as I've lived here. And I think it's a unique perspective to bring to the board someone who has learned the needs of this community through the eyes of its children.
You know, it seems to me, if you take a look at this race, you know a little bit about Allie Miller, the incumbent, who's been a divisive figure and a troublemaker throughout the whole process, never really promoting anything but against everything. And the name calling that has been unnecessary and I think disruptive to the whole process of governing Pima County. Her protege, Steve Spain, follows in her footsteps as a name caller. If you read anything from the Independent that he's written, it is despicable. The attitude that he's had, not only to the government he wants to be a part of, but to the government that serves us all in Pima County. There is a clear choice, a very clear choice in District 1 between yourself, Rex Scott, and, of course, Steve Spain. And I think this campaign, I hope this campaign, has provided those voters within that supervisory district the information they need to make that kind of choice between the two of you. Have you been able to do that?
Absolutely, John. And just to amplify what you said about Mr. Spain's history before and during this campaign, when the Arizona Daily Star endorsed me in this race, they pointed to his history of public personal attacks. Those are their words when they made the endorsement in our race. And we did create a website. You can visit it by going to meetstevespain.com. You won't find a lot of editorializing from us. In fact, the first three sentences are the only thing that's written by our campaign. Everything else is Mr. Spain in his own words. And put it that up there because anybody who writes that way, who speaks that way, who acts that way is likely to govern that way. And I've been saying throughout this campaign that candidates for public office need to not only be worthy of the public trust that is going to be invested in them, but also be worthy of the times in which they seek to serve. And in this extraordinary time of challenge and crisis, when we are dealing with well over 200,000 Americans dead in the worst public health crisis of our time, it's inappropriate for somebody running for office to focus on personal attacks, half-truths, mistruths, to run down their opponent. And I'm proud of the campaign that we have run, and I think the contrast is very clear, and I hope I will have the honor of representing this district on the Board of Supervisors.
I hope you do, too. Rex Scott, thanks for being on the show today. Best of luck. We'll talk again before it's over. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
I'm Nick Pearson. My motto for many years has been La Comunidad Primero, the community first. Our children are the most important part. We must improve academics and close the student achievement gap. We must improve the technology gap and stabilize the district financially. I'm experienced and well qualified to serve on the TUSD school board. I will provide the balance and strong finance background needed to help stabilize the school district. I'm running for the TUSD governing board and I'm seeking your vote on November 3rd.
Hello, my name is Representative Pam Powers Hanley. I grew up in a tiny house in the Rust Belt, but my family always had food on the table and a roof over our heads. Arizona's children don't have those luxuries. I proposed legislation to expand maternal and child health and to tackle adverse childhood experiences like food, housing, and financial insecurity. Although Democrats held 48% of the legislature, Republicans blocked good bills like these with partisan gamesmanship. It's time for a new day. Instead of feather-bedding corporations with tax breaks, the legislature should guarantee food and housing security and quality schools for all of Arizona's children. It's time to prioritize the people's to-do list of education, healthcare, infrastructure, and security. As a progressive Democrat, I ask for your vote on November 3rd. Paid for by Powers Hanley for House 2020, I am Pam Powers Hanley. I authorize this message.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios in Tucson, Arizona. You know, I'm a Democrat. I'm a very proud Democrat, and I have a progressive radio talk show and have had that progressive radio talk show for 31 years. But I'm more than willing to support a Republican who's more qualified than the Democratic opponent in any particular race in my hometown of Tucson, Arizona, or any place that I would have an opportunity to make a choice between the two. I make a choice between Republican Beth Ford and her opponent. I support Beth Ford. She's been a great treasure of Pima County. She's running again for a final 4 years after five terms, 20 years, as a Pima County treasurer. Let's find out why she wants another 4 years. Here is Beth Ford, Pima County treasurer. Beth, welcome.
Hi. Thank you, John. It's great to be here with you this afternoon.
One four-year term. Why stay? You've been there 20 years. You've done a great job. People say you're one of the best treasurers we've ever had and one of the best in Arizona history. So why four more?
Well, I knew there was going to be a void in the assessor's office, and then F.A.N. Rodriguez decided to retire, and I thought it would be very bad for Pima County to have a new recorder, new treasurer, and a new assessor. Those three offices are very interrelated, and I know I can provide the leadership to our new people that are coming in.
People say, well, wait a minute, you're a CPA, and you are, but you became a CPA after you became treasurer, correct?
No, that's not correct.
No, okay, it's not correct.
I became a CPA in
1988. See, that's the first mistake I've ever made. I'm shocked here. Good Lord, really?
Yeah,
I've got to write that down. First mistake, okay.
First time.
You were a CPA when you ran, right?
Correct.
All right, let's talk about other qualifications you brought from the very beginning to the treasurer's office and what you've accomplished since the very first time.
Well, bringing that financial expertise has been invaluable. When I took over that office 20 years ago, my predecessor had been in office for 32 years, and the job had just really grown past them. They weren't using any automation. Everything was being done by hand. They were having audit exceptions, the whole nine yards. It was pretty ugly. Plus a Y2K bug, for those of us that are old enough to remember what that was. And we ended up using technology, my financial expertise, to straighten out that office. We've automated 90% of our tax payments. We've been able to reduce staff down from 46 to 25. I've been able to return more than $5 million in unused budget capacity to the taxpayers over that time period, which is more than twice of what my budget is.
You also had, 40 employees? You have 20 now or something in that neighborhood, right?
We started out with 46. We're down to 25. And we've been able to accomplish that through automation and also increasing the skill level of the employees that we do have.
You know, another thing, too, is I think, and I was mistaken about this, I thought, well, wait a minute, she may have something to do with the amount of money I owe for my property taxes as well as collected. You don't. You don't have anything to do with the amount. You only have to do with the payment, correct?
That's correct. That's totally correct. And, in fact, now I'm getting calls from people that have been negatively impacted by COVID asking for some sort of relief on their property taxes, which I firmly believe that they should get. But that has to come through the legislature. Our offices are run according to Arizona revised statutes, and there's no provision in the law right now for me to be able to provide anybody any kind of relief due to COVID. I can't reduce their interest. I can't waive it. I can't delay their due date. That's got to come from the legislature. The county treasurers, tried to get some relief for taxpayers prior to when they adjourned this session, but it'll take something happening, hopefully, to help these people out in the next legislative session.
We know mortgage companies give forbearance and give people a chance to go 6 months without a payment or maybe even a year or more. We have obviously attended to her paying less money now than they did before, perhaps even forgiven some rent payments just to get people through these difficult times. And you're right, although the treasures of Pima County and other counties across the state can't do anything about it, you certainly have to hear about it. And that's a real problem for a great many people.
Yes, it has been. And it's challenging. I mean, when your taxes are delinquent, you're paying 16% interest. And we've got people whose businesses had to close down because the government told them they had to. They shouldn't be being penalized like that because now they can't afford to pay their taxes because they have no income.
Give me a couple of minutes and tell people why they ought to vote for Beth Ford one more time for Pima County Treasurer.
Because I have the experience and the professional financial background to continue to run that office efficiently and effectively and to provide the top level of service to our taxpayers in Pima County and its 98 different political subdivisions. The Treasurer's Office also serves as the bank for all of our political subdivisions. We have $3.5 billion that flows through that office. It really needs somebody with the experience, the understanding of the statutes, to be able to run the office effectively.
Beth Ford, I support you for another 4 years as Pima County Treasurer. You've been a great treasurer. You'll be a great treasurer for four more years. Thanks for your great service to Pima County. And thanks for being on our show. We'll talk one more time before we wrap this thing up on November 3rd. But I appreciate your service to all of us. Appreciate you being on the show, Beth. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Beth Ford, Pima County Treasurer, Republican. I support her. I hope you do, too. Steve Diamond's with us. He's a Democrat running for the Pima County Board of Supervisors in District 4. Here is Steve Diamond. Steve, everybody said, boy, no Democrat's going to be able to win this race. It's a Republican district, always has been, always will be. But you think you can win this, and this is the first real challenge to a Republican incumbent in decades. Welcome to the show, Steve Diamond.
Thanks a lot, John. Happy to be here. And yes, you're right. This is the first time a Democrat has run in 24 years since 1996. And at that time, the Democrat who ran against the Republican, frankly, didn't do very well either, polling approximately one-third of the vote. So they lost 2-1. But I think things have changed dramatically in the last 24 years, not only in the demographics of that district, which now has a much smaller advantage to Republicans in voter registrations, but also this year the enthusiasm factor among Democrats is through the roof, and the Republican voters, by and large, just in general, having observed what's happening in the early voting and in other measures, they're not as enthusiastic.
Well, I think that gives Democrats an opportunity across the state of Arizona to win races that probably were not winnable at any other time under any other circumstances. You do have a chance to win this race. It's, I think, a great opportunity for voters to finally have a choice, and that's what democracy is about. Steve Christie has a problem with man-made causes of climate change. I can't imagine how anybody with half a brain would have a problem with that. He does. And other things that are very clearly different than your approach to not only what we face as a country, but as a county. And literally, how do we get out of some of these terrible problems that we're involved in? So 2 minutes to give us the difference between you and Steve Christie, the incumbent. Please, Steve Diamond.
Thank you, John. Yeah, what you said is exactly right. Steve Christie has shown himself to be a science denier. He seems to be proud of being a science denier, and he places his own personal opinion, apparently, over that of scientific experts, not only regarding climate change, but also regarding the COVID pandemic, which I think is really unsafe for the residents of Pima County to listen to ill-informed advice like that and to have that as a basis for our government. I promise to rely on expertise and not on ideology when governing, when making decisions about how our government runs. And I think that's the way it really has to be. I also say that we are stronger together, stronger when all of the diverse voices in this community are heard and listened to and considered. And I pledge to go to work for all the people of Pima County, not just a privileged few, not just exclusive interests. So that's why I'm asking people to vote for me. I'm particularly asking young people to turn out. The current records are showing that the young people are turning out in fewer numbers than the older fogies here. And so I'm asking young people to turn out. And if anyone wants to know more about my campaign, visit my website, votestevediamond.com. I'm still doing outreach. I could still use campaign donations to help me reach more people. And I thank you for listening.
I thank you for running, Steve Diamond. Thanks so much for being on our show as well. We'll talk again before it's over on November 3rd. Thanks for being on the show today. Thanks for sharing part of your weekend with us. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, John.
You bet. Steve Diamond, Democratic candidate for the Board of Supervisors, District 4. Going to be back talking money with our financial expert, Jim Hannity. Hannity, now I'll tell you one thing about Jim. He's one of the smartest financial advisors in all of Arizona. Jim Hannity is obviously a financial advisor for a living. He's going to talk about modern portfolio theory, the efficient frontier, the Sharpe ratio, and what these have to do with decertification. Well, it means absolutely nothing to me. In fact, it's gibberish, but it's more than gibberish, as Jim will explain after these messages.
I'm Catherine Ripley, and I'm running for Pima Community College Governing Board for District 1. During my 26 years as a U.S. Naval officer, I learned to make critical and strategic decisions when they were most needed. As a former U.S. diplomat, I was the voice that brought diverse and opposing forces together. Today, as an adjunct professor at Pima teaching political science, I've seen lives changed and enriched. And now, as a mom who's raised two children, I'm worried about what a post-pandemic world will look like. The people of Pima County deserve equal access to the affordable education and technical training programs that only can be offered at Pima. They deserve a fair shot at getting jobs. They deserve equity and dignity in the workplace, and we need them now more than ever. This is a critical election year. We need your voice, your values, and your votes. I want to be your voice to ensure we are all heard. Visit our campaign at catforpcc.com. I'm Catherine Ripley, and I approve this message that is paid for by Catherine Ripley for Governing Board.
It's now over in Europe. The last three areas of resistance in Germany are falling apart tonight.
Very quickly, kind of a personal note, I had a timing belt that blew up in my car, which didn't let it run and blew up the motor. So I'm trying to think, give me an honest mechanic that can fix this thing or tell me what I ought to do that's going to make the most sense. So I went over to Mike Emery. I said, can you tell me about this car? He said, here's what I'll do with it. And he's going to put a new timing belt, a new engine on it, and it's going to be a new car when he gets through with it, and I'm going to give you a fair price, which he did, and he fixed it. It runs perfect. I didn't want any more car than what I had after I'd left Perfection Auto Works, and this guy's a great guy. All I care about, he was an honest mechanic who did the right thing for me, and I suggest if you have a car problem, you take it to Perfection Auto Works and take it to Mike Emery at 1046 North Beverly. He just fixed the car at a fair price. It runs perfect. Thanks, Mike.
The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves. Good night and good luck.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is time to meet Jim Hannity. Jim Hannity owns a financial advisory company. His company administers over $4 million through the many customers, small enough to offer personal representation, large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect your money. Modern portfolio theory and Sharpe ratio, which is completely foreign to me. But let's get an explanation of those terms and how it might, well, have something to do with your, one, protection of the finances you have and your ability to increase those numbers of dollars that you want to increase. Here is Jim Hannity. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John.
All right, let's talk about these particular, I need a glossary to figure this out. Help me out.
Well, modern portfolio theory is a mathematical theory that was developed by Harry Markowitz in 1952, and he subsequently won a Nobel Prize in economics for it. And I'm not sure if it was Harry or if it was those who followed him, Brinson, Hood, and Bebauer, who studied some major company pension funds to see if they could determine what it was about one pension fund that made it perform better, have a higher rate of return than the other portfolio. And and what they discovered was that the single largest determinant was how that portfolio was allocated among different asset classes. So an asset class is something like large cap growth, domestic large cap growth stocks, or municipal bonds, even cash is an asset class that advisors can use to compose portfolios in order to reduce the amount of risk and increase the return in the portfolio. That's what That's what everybody is always seeking, is to make as much money as they can with the least amount of risk.
So how do you do that in these difficult and uncertain times, Jim Hanley? Because I can't remember them being more difficult or more uncertain.
Well, I think that most advisors follow analytical group. Right now, I'm following a group called Research Affiliates. Some of your listeners may recognize the name of Rob Arnott. He heads up that group, and Rob is you know what they call a contrarian in our business, one who is not following the herd, but who is looking beyond or in other places for return. And so Rob is actually studying demographics of countries in order to see where the most potential for growth is, economic growth. And he's, constructed recommended asset classes that are not typical. You would find in a typical Ibbotson-style portfolio a concentration in domestic stocks and bonds, and then foreign stocks and foreign bonds, pretty much in that order. But Arnott is looking at the demographic trends in the United States and finds that our population is not growing very, very fast, and that there's not a lot of technological innovation that is going to bring in new increases in productivity. So either if you're going to have economic growth, you have to have more people at work adding value, or you have to have people at work who are being more efficient, more productive in what they're doing. And so, if there's not a lot of productivity increases on the horizon, then you got to look for where you're going to have an increase in the workforce. And Arnott is pretty much looking in smaller developing countries for economic growth and increasing stability. That's something else that you have to have in order to have a less risk in your investing overseas. And also, to a lesser extent, in developed foreign markets, such as Western Europe or countries around the Pacific Rim.
In order to find these particular opportunities for people in these difficult times, you got to know where to look, right?
Well, yes, you do. You do, John. To step back a few paces, the last time I was on with you, I was talking about mutual funds and how small holders could get into market investing without the expense of hiring a stockbroker or an investment advisor, and mutual funds can give small holders access to diversified portfolios and even management in their portfolios. And that's I'm not a fan of day trading or people that are trying to to hit a home run every day in the markets. I think more times than not they lose money. So I'm a strategic advisor, and I believe that's the safest orientation for investors.
So that's what guides you when you give advice to people. You have to have some kind of basis to begin with. And that's what you have, right? Am I correct?
Yes, it is. In the way that I'm compensated, I'm a registered investment advisor, and I only charge a fee for my service. So what I look for are people that already have some assets. In fact, my minimum initial investment is $50,000, and some advisors in my class require $100,000 minimum investment. So if you're charging a fee, you know, for service based on the assets that you're managing for a client, you can see that if you get below $50,000, which, you know, it's about probably maybe $600 a year or something like that. You know, if you're charging 1.5% or 1.25%, you really can't justify the work and the expertise that you're applying if you're opening up an account.
So people can pick up the phone, give you a call at 623-3646, and you can explain what you offer and then match it to what they need, and if it's a good match, you proceed, and if it's not a good match, you're more than willing to tell people that. So you don't do the same thing for everybody, but you do something similar for each individual, which is, I assume, always to protect what people have and then to at least maximize the opportunities that people have before them, even in these difficult times. Got 1 minute to tell people why they ought to call Jim Hanley.
Well, as I said, John, I think that I prize the access that people have to me. I'm talking on the phone that my clients have. They can call me on my cell phone. I don't have anybody in the front office to run interference for me. So they have a lot of access to me. And I insist on having quarterly meetings with my clients every quarter. I do my own quarterly reports, and they're very in depth, and I like to sit down with my clients, or these days on Zoom, and review their portfolio, how they did in the quarter, and what their history of their return was, and also to find out if their financial objectives or their risk tolerance has changed. So,
Jim Hanley, that's why you're one of the best financial advisors in the state, and you have such a great reputation. 623-3646. Hope people will give you a call to protect what they have and to get what they want. Jim Hanley, have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, John. You
Thank
too.
You.
Take it easy.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Thanks for spending part of your weekend with us.
But they can make anything bad because they are the fake, disgusting news.
This is kayfake. Donald Trump was seen laying thousands of $100 bills near the Capitol building to repay the Russians for an easy election. Now the weather. Jane?
Thank you, Jim. Today it's going to snow and hail.
But it's September.
Yeah, I know. It's all Trump's fault.
Do you often wonder if the diagnosis and estimate from your auto repair shop is, well, fake? Are you told the car needs one repair, and after that repair, the problem is still exactly the same? At Perfection Auto Works, when you get our free inspection and diagnosis, it's never fake. We back our repairs with our one-year, 12,000-mile warranty. Call Perfection Auto Works today for an appointment. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, emissions, complete auto repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
There is one thing certain that political allies and adversaries of Michael Hicks can agree on. Michael Hicks tells it like it is, speaks his mind, and is always plain-spoken. If we ever needed these qualities in a state legislator, we need them now. Arizona is going through some of the most difficult times in our history. The coronavirus pandemic has threatened the health and lives of all Arizonans. The economic devastation will be felt for years. We need a strong voice in the State House of Representatives. We need Michael Hicks. Michael Hicks is the right choice for the State House of Representatives.